Hey, this is the Bud Man, and you're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 93.1 WFLA. Now to our studio and your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome, Chris.
Hello, thank you.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. And you can also call that number to get in touch with Chris as well. So today we've got a lot of great stuff to go over in regards to what's going on. And we're getting closer and closer to the holidays. So as people are moving around and thinking gifts, I think a house is a great thing to put a little bow on and show people on Christmas or Hanukkah, you know, or whatever, Kwanzaa, whatever it is, to let them know that this is a great gift for you. But if you are looking at selling, and there's some things that I think that, you know, when you're selling that you need to really look at and things that you don't want to necessarily consider. I mean, these are kind of like the don'ts as opposed to the do's when it comes down to it. And one of the things as a seller that I think that you need to take out of your head is that I'm not going to sell for less than this price. Because a lot of times what people will do is they'll put this number in their head without knowing what the market is. Because basically when it comes to finding out what your home is going to sell for, it totally comes down to the market. There is no way to get around that the market is going to be determinant, because you have to find a buyer that's willing to pay the price that you're willing to accept in order to get that. So you can't say that you're going to sell it for less than X price. I mean, obviously, if you don't have to sell, then you could say that, but you do have to expect that you're going to have to negotiate. And if it was $1 less than that figure that you said, would you sell? And obviously, you probably would take that $1. So then it comes down, would you take $100 less, or would you take $1,000 less? So really, when it comes down to it, you really have to look at the whole big picture of everything of what's going on and look at what you've got. If that house that you're holding on to, if you've already moved on and you're not in it any longer, then obviously it's a much higher priority for you to get it sold if that's what you're trying to do, because it's an asset that's sitting there that you may have a payment on, or at least have expenses of maintaining all of the things inside it, and probably utilities and lawn and taxes and homeowners associations and all those kinds of things. So if somebody's going to offer you $500 less, your carrying costs are probably at least that a month. And even if you don't have a mortgage, so it would make sense to take that offer and move on instead of waiting for somebody that might come 3 months later, and then you're $1,500 further in the hole, if that's what it is. So that's what I think that it comes down to, too, and really looking at it. And another one, when it comes to an offer that also comes down to pricing, is that you say that you won't consider any offers that are less than X amount. And in my opinion, any offer that comes in, you have to consider.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what the price is on it, because the people are making that offer a lot of times just to test the waters. So you can't take it personally when somebody is giving you a lowball offer. I know that it's very hard to do sometimes, because it is an asset or something that you've sunk your you know, teeth into, whether it be that you've fixed it up or whether that you've lived in it and it's been your family home and that kind of thing. And so I've had people that have placed lowball offers and it is something that they just need to do to just feel that they've tried it. They many times will come up to very close to in some place where you can make it work, but they have to try that lowball offer first. So you can't like get upset with them and mad at them and say that that's not a good situation and all that kind of stuff, because there are times where I've countered lowball offers at listing price because we're just too far apart. And then they come up a little bit and then you're like, okay, well, if they're going to give something, then we can give something too, and that kind of thing. So basically it's a fluid process and there's no way of controlling what that initial offer is. The fact that you've got an offer is always a good thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We're your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you call 407-566-2555. Again, that's 407-566-2555. So another thing that people say when they're thinking of selling their house, and you can say this to us, but it's not something that you're going to say to a customer, that it's like, I cannot or will not close any sooner than a specific date or time frame. And again, when you're looking at your house, it's not the only one out there, and nope. People have other needs, and they might pay you an extra several thousand dollars to be able to move on this specific date. So I would probably take several thousand dollars over having my way on a specific date and go live in a hotel for a couple of weeks or something like that, if that's what I needed mm-hmm. to do in order to make sure that I got the biggest bang for them my buck. Now that's me, and that might not be everybody out there, but the thing is that there are situations that it's not just looking at that bottom line dollar or that specific date. You have to look at what's going on and everything with the house. The next thing that you'll relate to for sure, Danielle, is that it says there's nothing wrong with this house and I don't need to make any repairs. And the problem is that even a new house usually has
some kind of issues,
some kind of issues that you're going to run into. And that's why when you're going with a builder and a new build, they usually give you that 1 year where they're going to fix everything in that warranty that fixes everything. Because as they're building, they don't necessarily know that something was wrong. And so the things that they're going to usually find in a house is something that you didn't know about. I mean, it's not anything that you maliciously did or happened to the house. But let's face it, we're not walking around in the attic of our homes on a daily basis. And we're not looking inside the walls. And we're going to see the typical things that we could see that happen, but we're not going to see the hidden things that happen in there. You know, I'm not walking around my house every day looking for cracks in the foundation, which is kind of rare to a certain extent, but I'm not walking around, you know, seeing if those kinds of things exist.
No. Well, the main thing is the attic. I mean, I never, ever go in there, and my husband is terrified to go in the attic, so usually we send our son up there. But he, you know, doesn't know what to look for if something doesn't look right. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, it could be a leak or it could be, you know, just a little thing. So,
right.
It's like you said, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, plus when you're used to seeing something all the time, you don't notice it, mm-hmm. that there could be something wrong. So when another set of eyes come in, they'll be the first ones to say, hey, by the way, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, wow, I never even noticed that, because a lot of times you just don't.
Well, and I think it's just a case in point in the house that you just purchased that there wasn't any insulation over the kitchen.
Over the kitchen, yeah.
Because they had just redone the kitchen. And so whoever had done it, they didn't put the insulation over the kitchen. Mm-mm. So obviously their electric bills were a lot higher because there was no insulation over that part of the house.
Yeah.
And they didn't even realize it.
Nope.
So, you know, saying that there's nothing wrong with the house and you won't need to make any repairs,
yep.
you know, you just have to know what they're talking about before you actually open up your mouth and make those kinds of statements.
Correct. Well, perfect example is I sent my son up there to put the Christmas stuff up because we had moved in October. He didn't notice, of course, that on the other side of the house there was insulation missing because he doesn't look for that, you know. And then when I had the guy come in to install a ceiling fan, he's the one that noticed, hey, by the way. So you see, you just wouldn't have noticed, mm-hmm. you know, we would have kept on just doing whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. yeah. Little
so
things
I just
happen.
I had my son in there, yep. so I'm a bad mom.
Yeah. I had there's nothing I'm personally working on, but another, someone else was telling me more of an extreme case. No one had any idea, but there was termite damage in the trusses. So yeah. you just never know in it.
You don't. In order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Front Gate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
And at Front Gate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So one of the things that we were talking about, sellers and things that, you know, you might shoot yourself in the foot without really meaning to. And we were talking about repairs that happen. And and Chris, you were talking about a case where that probably a loan that you're doing on that there ends up being termites in the trusses. And that's obviously something that I'm sure that the homeowner was not aware of, because
of course,
obviously that's something that you wouldn't, you would do something about if you knew about it. But then it's like, obviously that buyers kind of get cold feet in regards to buying that house unless something's done about it, because how bad is it? And a lot of times you can't get a loan if there are termites there as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, each loan program, most of them don't require
a termite inspection,
except for VA. But I think it comes down to, though, like if an appraiser happens to see it, because typically that's where it's going to be found. If it is, then yeah, at that point you because you have structural issues usually at that point that could be a major concern and health issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So another one that sellers want to get demanding about at times, and I think that it's just really important to know, is that they say showing times. I only want showings with at least 24-hour notice, or I want them only between time X and Y and during the weekdays and no weekends or weekends only. And the bad thing about that is that you want to market your house to as many people as possible. In most cases, you're going to have 24-hour notice. However, there are times when that's just not feasible. When you're out there with a client, like if I'm out there with a buyer sometimes and we're in a specific neighborhood and we didn't pick your house to go look at that day, but we're looking at the one next door and the buyers say, well, I really like this neighborhood. I didn't like that house. And I'd actually like to increase my budget by $50,000. And lo and behold, there's your house. It's $50,000 higher and right next door, and they would like to see it. You're not going to have 24 hours to make that decision of whether or not you want to let them in. I mean, we're right outside in the neighborhood, and the buyers decided that they're going to change their income of what are the purchase price. Excuse me. So you don't want to stop that.
Correct. Yeah. Well, we get that all the time when we go on a listing. And sometimes it's hard because, you know, maybe they have dogs or, you know, there's kids that are present, things like that. But you really want to be able to, I always tell when I go on them to always have your house like in show ready condition. And, you know, we would try to make it work for 24 hours. But like Laura said, I mean, a lot of times people are driving in the area. That house may not have came up on their radar because of maybe it is the price point, maybe the bedroom size, whatever the case may be.
Right.
So they're in the neighborhood and they're like, hey, we're here. This house looks like it could have everything, even based on the photos. Let's try to get in there. And then they say, oh, well, you know, you can't come back until Friday. And here it is Tuesday or something. So now they've already... You know, you kind
You've
of put it.
You deflated the bubble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you totally deflated it. And now they're just driving on. They're like, all right, well, we'll see. And then now 2 or 3 days have gone by. They might have found another home doing the same thing, driving in the neighborhood. Yep. And now the next one is, oh, yeah, go see it. It's available. I mean, I'm here, but don't worry. I'll tidy up real fast. Just give me a couple minutes and come on in. I mean, you know, you really want to make it, you know, your house available really and truly as much as possible, as often as possible. And I always tell people just have it in show ready.
Yep. I've had plenty of buyers tell me, like, you know, expecting them to make an offer on a home, like, well, we couldn't go see it.
Yeah.
And so then when they went up with another one, and I'm always like, hey, how'd you end up over there? But then usually because of something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it does happen all of the time. And so you definitely, and it's hard to keep your home in show-ready shape. So I say, you know, the way I like to do it is that if you can have your house that you can get it ready enough in 15 minutes, then you're perfect. Okay. So it's like, you know, it's like clear things off the counter, you know, put the dishes in the dishwasher or something like that. But the other thing that you have to understand as a seller is that when a buyer comes in there and they know that they're last minute, they don't necessarily expect everything to be perfect.
To be tip top. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So they're not expecting it to be that way either. So, you know, you don't, you know, it's like you're not necessarily, the kids didn't make their bed today. Okay, well, it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously it would be nicer if the beds were made, but if they're not made, it's not a reason to not show the house, because they're definitely going to exclude your house many of the times. If they want to see it bad enough, they're going to come back. But the problem is that there's probably five other houses that they can look at, and so they're going to exclude yours, and that's what you want to avoid. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So the next thing is that we get from sellers all the time is that they say, I don't think that the buyers came. It doesn't look like anybody was here or that they were here too short. And the thing is that it definitely sometimes is when people walk in the door and they immediately say yes or no, and they don't go really far into it. Many people are very respectful as far as what's going on in the house. And so they're trying very hard not to disrupt anything that's happening. So you don't necessarily know that they were there. In my opinion, it really should be like they weren't there, because they should have left the lights the same way that you had them.
Yep.
They should have left the doors the same way that you had them locked and everything like that. And so it should appear almost like they weren't there, because they should have left it in that type of condition that there wasn't anything that they did to it that
Correct.
You would feel like it was like there was some kind of a violation or something like that.
Well, sometimes it's a catch-22, because sometimes you get that, or they get upset that they did leave maybe the bathroom light on, you know, or they maybe have left the sliding door open, or they were in my closet and they, like, you know, moved my shoes or something. You know what I mean? So you're like, okay. But again, it's one of those where it's just, you're going to have some that are, like you said, very, where they're not going to touch nothing. They're just going to straight come in and look and do it that way. Or you are going to have some that are going to open every cabinet and make sure they could fit their crock pot, or, you know, they're going to open the bathroom counter and, you know, make sure they could fit their tall bottle of hairspray or something. I mean, it's crazy what you, what people look for, but, you know, it's going to have either or.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the little things that disqualify your house and you're like, well, I could change that.
Yeah.
But that's, but it's like, they don't want to go through the hassle of having you change it.
Mm-hmm.
So when they found another house that had all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So your it's supposed to be a very business decision, but it ends up being a very emotional decision.
Correct. Yeah.
And that comes down to feedback too, then, when you're getting feedback from somebody on a house, because the feedback that you're getting, you have to remember that when you're getting feedback, it's coming from somebody who decided they weren't going to buy your house. So they're looking for an excuse. They're looking for something that they can say that's wrong with the house. And many times it's something that you can't do anything on it. Well, the bedrooms were too small. Well, you're not going to do anything to make the bedrooms bigger.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, that's not going to be worth your time, energy, and effort to do that. So let's go through and reconfigure the whole house and do that.
It's a major project.
Yeah, you're not going to make the extra money from that, or the backyard was too small, or whatever. You know, those kinds of things. It's like, and the interesting thing to us is that when we're taking people out there and they'll say to this house, well, the backyard is too small. And then we'll go to another house and the backyard is even smaller. And this house is perfect. And in your mind, you're going, well, that doesn't really make sense to me. But that's the whole purpose of it, is that it's an emotional decision.
Yeah. And a lot of times just the layout or what have you, and the same thing happens all the time. They'll go in and, oh, this room looks so much bigger. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. I think it's like a 10 by 10 as the other one was 15 by 15, but it's just the way that they have their layout, or the furniture or what have you. So just depends.
it really does make a difference in that. So it's like, so you always have to take feedback with a grain of salt. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And also Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So, Chris, you know, I know that people need a down payment in order to buy a house, but a lot of times people are surprised at how low of a down payment that you need, because in both FHA, conventional, and VA, they're all different amounts, is the minimum amount, but they're pretty small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lowest one is VA and USDA, literally 0% down. Both are not easy to get into. One, you have to be a veteran, and the other one is quite difficult because it's income restrictive and it's location restrictive, so not a very common product or loan program that's used. The next lowest one, believe it or not, most people don't know this because it's common that when I mention conventional loans, they're like, oh, but I don't have 20% down. I'm like, good news, you don't need that. It could be as minimal as 3%. And so people are usually shocked by that. They're like, wow, only 3%? And then the other popular program, the FHA, is 3.5%. So the down payments are quite minimal.
Yeah, they are. And the question that I always get from people is, you know, are there first time buyer programs that mm-hmm. are out there?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a way to get that down payment or get some mm-hmm. closing costs and that kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. So that term is used a lot. So what's considered a first-time home buyer is, one, obviously, you're buying your first house, or if you're someone who has not owned a home in the last 3 years. And so just because you've owned a home before, as long as it's been more than 3 years since you've owned that home, you are actually deemed or considered a first-time home buyer again.
Yeah, which is really nice, and I don't think that everybody knows out there. So if you just haven't owned a home for 3 years, for whatever reason, you sold it, you moved from another area, mm-hmm. and you rented before you're buying again, then you obviously get that first-time home buyer advantage just like mm-hmm. anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at it, and then I think that, so how are some things that you found that are easy to come mm-hmm. up with the down payment?
Yep. And so, because one of the first things we're going to talk about after income and credit and all that is available assets, money that you have available to you for the down payment. And then, of course, that sometimes overlooked closing cost. You know, if you're first time home buyer, you likely just don't know what that closing cost is and how much that can be. The first thing we're going to talk about is, you know, obviously what loan program can put you into that's going to be as minimal down payment as possible, right? That at least gets you into that 3% range. And then we're going to start talking about, let's go over maybe a down payment assistance type program. The popular one in Florida is called the Florida Bond. And this changes all the time, by the way. Sometimes there's different versions of it. More or less, it's a grant, right? And so like right now, the one that definitely has funds is where they will give you $7,500 towards your down payment and closing costs, which is huge. That can help you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ones we'll look at. There are criteria for that one as well. Again, one being you have to be a first-time home buyer. There are some income restrictions. So we're going to look at that as well. But that's probably one of the first few we'll look at. If there are an instance where a lot of times first-time home buyers or just buyers in general have a way of getting gifts from family members, because each and every single loan program will allow you 100% gift. If you don't have a dime to your name, but you have daddy who, you know, he's got some money that he can give to you as a gift to buy a house, he can give you 100% of your down payment and your closing cost, which is utilized quite often.
Yeah, it definitely is. If you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So a gift is basically, the requirements of that are obviously you get the gift from the person, and then mm-hmm. you get a letter from them, right, that says that this was a gift and you're not expected to mm-hmm. pay it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every I can't imagine any lender, every lender I ever worked with or done, we all have like a generic gift form. It's going to state, like you said, it's going to state that this is a gift. You're going to state what your relation is to the donor. And so because some programs you have to be, you know, usually a family member is what they require. If you're like a long lost, the godfather to a child or something like that, or even ex-spouses, you know, things like that. Those are all people who can gift you. And then we're going to source that. Now, federal law requires us to source where the money is coming from. And each program is a slightly little different, but more or less we're at least looking at, you know, a check, a wire receipt, transfer, something to show that this came from your account and that it was your money that you gave and wasn't money that you had to, you know, more or less borrow yourself. Or,
right.
So we're definitely by law checking into certain things. And so there is some documentation as a donor that you have to be willing to provide.
Yeah. But it's really not too much.
No, it's generally very minimal. Like I said, usually it's just a check. Because most people give checks.
Right. And so you could do it that way. And one of the things then in regards to the Florida bond, the one that the $7,500 one, is that one actually you may have to pay that back, or you do have to pay that back when you sell the property. Is that correct?
So the current one, the current version of bond at the $7,500, it does require you at any point in time in the next, you know, let's say you sell your house 20 years from now, you do have to pay the full balance back. And that could change. So I always encourage people, you know, if you can't buy now, 6 months from now, it may change. And it could be because a lot of times it's, it's a 5-year type. And by the way, we call this a silent second mortgage, because typically it's not something you pay on monthly. It's just kind of there. But it's a way for it to be, to just show itself in case it is due, that we know that, hey, you have to pay it off. But sometimes it's, you know, let's say 5 years and 20% of it is forgiven each year.
Right.
Which is nice. So if you keep your house for at least 5 years, then you do not have to pay it back. So it could change into that. But right now it is something you have to pay completely back.
But it doesn't have any interest attached to it.
No interest, no payment to it, nothing. It's just kind of there and then only repaid if you sell.
Yeah. So it's really like being able to use $7,500 mm-hmm. from the state or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're able to purchase a house with it, and it's a loan that you have, but you have no payments or no interest or anything. Yep. So,
That's awesome.
It's just borrowing the money and then pay it back mm-hmm. when the time is right is mm-hmm. basically what it comes down to.
Yep. It's definitely not for everybody, but it's for the right people who just need that extra help and are willing to accept those kind of terms. And we definitely help people with it.
And another thing that people can get that they may not be aware of is that we actually help people negotiate from the seller, that the seller pays part of their closing costs. And so they don't need as many of those to come up with. So many times it is just that down payment. And then if you get the Florida bond, I mean, it does become quite mm-hmm. affordable for you to actually be able to move into a property.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Something I always like to tell everybody right away is no matter what, you have to come up with your own down payment. So let's say you're in a program that does require, you know, 3% or 3.5%. No one, the seller or myself or real, no one can pay that for you. You do have to have at least that.
Right.
But let's say you have, just for an easy number, $10,000 in closing costs. The seller can definitely contribute a percentage usually or even just a flat number towards that to pay for your closing costs. That way you only have to come up with, $5,000, $6,000,
$7,000. Right.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And some of the closing costs, when you're looking at it, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money. And that, but you have to realize that it's a full year of your insurance
mm-hmm.
that is coming up in doing that. And, you know, with the mortgage, there are taxes that are by the state that are mm-hmm. required to be done. And those are some of the closing costs. And then they're also building up your escrow reserves. Mm-hmm. Which your escrow has got your taxes and your insurance in it, so that when the time comes to pay that the money's there and you don't have to come up with any extra money out of your pocket. So all of those things are included in your closing costs. And so when you take all of those things out, you know, your closing costs become, you know, minimal
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. So you definitely want to look at the whole picture in regards to what it is, because it may not be as intimidating as you think. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we will see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello, hello.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. And there's an article here that's talking about that when you retire, should you pay off your mortgage? And so that, you know, it's kind of both sides. You've just got to look at the whole picture in order to see what you want to do when it comes down to that. So if you've got a mortgage and you've had it for a number of years and making that payment, a lot of times you've got all the money that you need that you're going to still have the monthly income after you retire to pay that mortgage. And it might be minimal. And so you might think, hey, I just want to keep paying along at least initially so that you know that kind of what's going on. I mean, whether there's a death or whether there's, you know, a major illness or whether it's a retirement, any kind of life-changing event, I always think it's good to kind of let the dust settle and not make any decision right away. You really got to look at what's the best decision for you long-term. And 5 minutes after the event happens is usually not the time to be making that decision.
No.
You know, we're like kind of going, oh my gosh, you know, where are we? And so I think it's the same thing, you know, when you retire that you definitely want to look and see what's best. I mean, there are things like we know that are a reverse mortgage that you always hear about and that kind of thing that you can do. And a reverse mortgage is kind of a unique animal that basically depending on your age, depends on how much of the loan amount that you can get of the value of the house. But then you don't make any payments. But then when you pass away, then what happens is that your heirs have the right to either, you know, make up what's left of that mortgage, and they have a year to do it, I believe. Otherwise, the bank takes that house away and there's no more assets. So there's all kinds of things to consider with that. So I know that some people think, oh, this is a great deal. This is what I want to do. But when you really look at the big picture, it may not be the right situation for you. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is that you don't want to make yourself poorer, but when you're going to actually be doing that. And I think that when people are getting, you know, up in their years and that kind of stuff, and maybe they're 65, Chris, and that kind of thing, when they do want to get a new loan, I mean, and they're working, there's really no restrictions or anything to that, correct?
Absolutely not. In fact, there's certain federal laws that protect it. We can't discriminate based on age.
Yeah.
So if you're 65, I think the oldest I've ever worked with someone for was 90. And I can't even ask why, but he wanted to buy a house. And so we helped him and we closed on it.
Yeah. And you know, I've worked with some people that were retired that they had never bought a house before, or they were getting ready to retire. And so they wanted to buy a house. I mean, that was just really important to them that they owned a house and they had never done it up until that point. And so you're like, okay, you know, why not? I mean, it's like, it was everybody's dream, or it was their dream in order to do that. And so you want to make sure that you want to do that. And you might want to pay off some of the mortgage or anything like that, or refinance before you retire. So maybe your payment is lower and that kind of thing, that you might want to do those kinds of things. But it comes down to a personal decision is what I think it comes down to, and looking at your whole big picture. And so your financial planner can help you with that. Or Chris, I'm sure you'd be happy to go through the numbers with them to help them decide that in regards to what's the best thing for them in that situation.
Most definitely. And that's something I had that financial background and manage my own. I always like to give at least suggestions or hints or helpful tips to say, okay, think about it this way or think about it that way. And depending on where you are in your life and what your current situation is, you're absolutely right. You have to look at the full picture on whether let's say, like you said earlier, like, do I pay off the mortgage? Well, that might not be the best thing to do.
Right.
And so your financial planner might advise you otherwise.
Because you have to look at your tax implications and you have to look at all of those things that go into it, and we're just the people to help you execute whatever you decided to do. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. And remember, any of us that you want to reach, you can call 407-566-2555. So I think we'll finish up, you know, with people, do they want to buy fixer-uppers and what you have to look in regards to this. And when you are buying a fixer-upper home, I mean, a lot of people, some houses are just not mortgageable.
We've all seen them.
Exactly. So, you know, if the house is missing a kitchen, you definitely can't do FHA. Sometimes you can do some kind of a conventional, but sometimes you can't. And there's just different things that, you know, depending on the different loan products of whether or not you can do it. And I know that there are a lot of times when people are doing these fixer-upper properties, they are going with hard money people in order to get a loan. So that means that your interest rate is significantly more higher in order to get that going and everything. But you have to make sure that you know exactly what your costs are going to be. And it's interesting, you know, especially for the out-of-town people that call and say that they want to buy a house and they're happy to get a fixer-upper. And I'm thinking, and I'm asking them the questions because I want to know. And I said, so are you looking to have, to get a fixer-upper? He said, yeah. And I said, well, what do you consider a fixer-upper? And he said, paint new carpet. And so that might not be exactly a fixer-upper. That's just kind of cosmetic things. You know, it's like we run into things that have no kitchens, that might have, you know, holes and walls and
wiring exposed everywhere.
Yeah.
Where the toilets are missing. We've seen it all.
And the air conditioner missing.
AC's missing. Yep.
Yeah. Those are the big ones.
So, and the roof definitely needs to be new. It can't be repaired. It has to be new. It's got the curling shingles and all that kind of stuff happening on it. And so, you know, it's like you really need to know like what your limits are and what you can do and what the price is of what it's going to cost in order to get all that stuff done. So the best people that we work with to do that, they actually come, you know, with their contractor or whatever to figure out what those costs are going to be before they make an offer on the property. Because they know kind of, you know, you could run into them. I mean, you see on HGTV all the time, all the stuff that they run into. And it seems like no project goes without running into something that's going to cost them more money. And so you have to be prepared for that in knowing kind of what's going on and what you're going to run into. Yeah.
In fact, if you do like one of those, one of the couple different renovation loans that are out there, almost all the time they were going to require a reserve fund. For things that come up while they're in the middle of it. Because almost, like you said, almost generally something that pops up that needs to cost additional funds.
Well, one of the people that we work with, he just recently did one and he had to restucco the whole house. And that wasn't something that he was planning on doing. But when he got into it and looking at the quality of everything that was existing there and some of the siding that was rotten out and all of that, that it was just cheaper for him to go ahead and restucco the whole house than it was to do any of the other options that were out there. But that wasn't something that he originally had planned on. And it's not something that somebody pulls up to the house and they're like, oh, the house is restuccoed. they don't have any idea that that's what happened. And so obviously, you know, it's like the roof, they check that to make sure, but you know, it depends exactly on the particular house and what's going on with it and everything in order to make it a worthwhile endeavor for you. And many times it ends up that just buying the house that's already completed is a much better deal for most people than it is to go through that whole renovation process.
Almost always.
So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you next week. Have a great one, everybody.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.